Okay, good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. It's Zayin Adar, so we're learning for Lila Nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu. Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu. We also have a number of other yard sites we're learning for today. Sandra Bettinger, Sara Rachel Basmeyer, Baruch Lerman, Baruch Mordechai Ben Avram Mordechai HaKohen, Mara Zouderer, Moshe Ben Minyamin, and Jacob Mazuski, Yaakov Hirsch Ben Moshe. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, we're on the very last lines of Nun Tes or Mekbeis by the two dots, two lines in the bottom. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna tells us over here, we're talking about Bana Bais. I forgot to read the Mishnah first, the quote from the Mishnah, three lines in the bottom. Bana Bais Chadosh V'Kana Kelu Chadosh V'Chule. This is telling us the very important din of making a Shechiyanu. How do we go about making a Shechiyanu? There are two types of Shechiyanus, if you wish to put it into very rough categories. There's a type of Shechiyanu that comes, let's say, for something that comes on a regular basis. For example, the Chagim. So we make a Shechiyanu when we get to the Shlosh Regalim. They come on a regular basis. We say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for letting me live to another Chag. And then there are other types of Shechiyanus that we make when we have a tremendous simcha and a pleasure. You buy a new car. You make a Shechiyanu that Baruch Hashem, you was zocheh to reach this point where you have a keli chadosh, or a house, a bayis chadosh. So these are two general types of Shechiyanus. When we make a Shechiyanu on new fruit, it's not because, wow, I love that new fruit. It's because, Baruch Hashem, I reached another harvest season, and I reached this fruit. Technically, you can make the Shechiyanu if you don't eat the fruit, because it's not the fruit itself that you're making the Shechiyanu on. You're making it on, I, Baruch Hashem, lived to reach this point in time. It's like a recurring thing. Every year, the season comes. So that's the type of Shechiyanu we're not talking about right now. Here we're talking about, I bought something, and it gives me a great simcha. So that's what the Mishnah says. Rav Huna. Rav Huna, now we're going to have two different versions of the machlokes here between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. The first version is as follows. Rav Huna. Lo shanu elish ein lo kayotzi behen. This is when you make a shechiyanu, when you don't have something like it. So you buy a new car, you don't already have a car. Avo yesh lo kayotzi behen ein tzorch levar. But I already got a car, and now I bought a new car. Rav Huna says you don't have to make a shechiyanu in that situation because you already got a car. You're not going to have so much simcha from a new car. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan might know. Afilu yeshlo chayotze ben. Even though you already have a car, how did you get the car? If you bought it, that's not what we're talking about. You inherited the car. Rashi says, mirusha. So in regards to buying the car, this is brand new for you. You inherited a car. Somebody gave you a car. That's why you have a car. But now you're buying a car, even though you already have a car, Rav Yochanan says, afilu yeshlo chayotze ben. Even though you have something like this, tzarech levarach, you have to go make a shechiyanu in this situation. Michlal, this is based upon the idea that everybody would agree, both Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, the chikana, if you had purchased the car and now kana another car, chavzar v'kana, so if you purchase now this item, which under its own rubric, you would make a shechiyanu, but since you've already purchased it once, Muslim, you made the shechiyanu then, now when you purchase another one like that, everybody agrees, they're called Ein Tzorech Levarach. Both Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan both say that if you purchase something, you don't make a Shechiyanu on the repurchasing when you buy another one of that item. Their machlokas is if you already have it. So Rav Huna says, if you already have it, that's it. We don't care how you got it. Rav Yochanan says, no, if you inherited it, but now you're buying it, you do make a Shechiyanu. That's version number one of this machlokas. Version number two is everything shifted over one level. Vika the Amre, others explain the machlokas as follows. You'll see in a moment what I mean. Rav Huna. Rav Huna says as follows. Lo shanu, this machlokis over here, the idea that you make a shechiyanu, only ella shelo kana v'chaz v'kana. Here Rav Huna is the old Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna says, if you had purchased something previously, now you don't make a shechiyanu if you purchase another one. However, avokana, the only time you make a shechiyanu is shelo kana v'chaz v'kana. The only time you don't make the shechiyanu is if you had purchased it previously, now you're purchasing it again. You don't make a shechiyanu if you had purchased it previously, and now you purchase another one. But if you owned one through a Yerusha, you would make a shechiyanu. So this Rav Huna is like Rav Yochanan in the previous version. And Rav Yochanan shifted over himself one slot. Rav Yochanan says, no, afilu kana v'chaz v'kana. He says, I bought a car last year. I made a shechiyanu last year. Now, I buy a new car this year, I still have the old car. I make another shechiyanu, even if I purchased it previously, because this is a separate simcha. And therefore, tzarech levarach, you have to make this a bracha. Nobody said the shita before. Rav Huna is like Rav Yochanan in version 1. Rav Huna in version 2 is like Rav Yochanan in version 1. And now we have Rav Yochanan in version 2 is even more pushed over that you always make a Shech Yonu when you're buying a new thing, even if you had purchased one like that, own it, and had made previously Mistama Shech Yonu.
Exchange
is different. We're not talking about that. We're talking about he still has it over here. Michlal, the Chieshlo, the Kana, that implies that everybody agrees. Rav Huna and certainly Rav Yochanan, they all agree that if you have something and you buy a new one, everybody here says that even though you had inherited one, you're going to have to go make a Shech Yonu if you buy one. So everything is shifted over one. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, we're going to have a Braisa. These are two our Morayim, Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan. We're going to have a Braisa that's going to sound very, very much like the first version, and it's going to be a Kasha, therefore, in the second version. So, Meisve. The Braisa states Beferish, Bono Bayis Chodosh, the Enlo Chayotzibo. If you purchase a new house and you don't have one like that, so Kana Kalum Chadoshim Ve'en Lo Kayotzim, and you don't have one like that. You didn't inherit it. You don't have one. Period. Everybody agrees. Sarek Levarach. Everybody agrees to make Shech Yonu with that situation. However, Yeshlo, the first Tana over here says, if you already have it, you inherited it. Yeshlo Kayotzim Hem Ain't Sarek Levarach Divrei Rav Meir. This is Rav Meir's opinion. This goes exactly like the first version, Rav Huna. This is the most extreme position on that side. That if you already own it, even though you didn't purchase it, you don't make a Shech Yonu. That's Rav Huna in the first version. That's Rav Meir as the Tana. So that aligns very well, Rav Meir with Rav Huna in the first version. Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Meir. He's going to align with Rav Yochanan in the first version. Rav Yehuda Meir, no. Ben Kachu, Ben Kach, Tzorach Levara. That you have to make a Shech Yonu if you don't own it, or if you do own it, via Yerusha. But you're now buying it for the first time, you make a Shech Yonu. So now, according to the first version, this Tanoic Machlokis Rav Meir and Yehuda aligns exactly with the Amorayim, Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna, Rav Meir, Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, as I showed you. However, El Elishna Basra, according to the second version, one of these Amorayim has no Tana to hang his hat on. Bishlam Rav Huna. Rav Huna could be okay because he could hold Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna in the second version is shifted to the left. So, he would say that even though you own it, but you didn't buy it, you make a Shech Yonu. Oh, that's just like Rav Yehuda the Tana. But Rav Yochanan is stuck. Rav Yochanan, the Omer, come on. Rav Yochanan has nobody to go like. He doesn't have a Tana to hang his hat on. And we have a Machlokas Tanaim over here. We have to try to align the Amorayim with the Machlokas Tanaim. And Amor is not going to disagree with both of the Tanaim. We try to align him with one of them. So Rav Yochanan, who says you make a Shech Yonu, even if you purchased something previously, the Lok Rav Meir, certainly not Rav Meir, and it's not the Lok Rav Yehuda. It's not even like Rav Yehuda. So who does Rav Yochanan hang his hat on? So the Gemara says, how would Rav Yochanan respond? The Malach Rav Yochanan, no. Who adin the Rav Yehuda kana v'chaz v'kana? Rav Yehuda in this price would say, not only if you owned it through Yerusha, but even if you purchased it, you would in fact have to go make a Shech Yonu. Aye, why didn't he say so? Nami Torch Levar, but why didn't he say so? V'ha'ad v'kana miflige v'yeshlo v'kana. Why did the Machlokis only allude to the idea if you have it through a Yerusha, and then you buy one, you have to make a Shech Yonu? It would be a bigger chiddush for Rav Yehuda to say, even if you purchased it previously, and now you buy one, you have to still make a Shech Yonu. But why did it give that aspect to the Machlokes? Because it wanted to show you the strength of Rav Meir Shita, that Rav Meir says, certainly if you purchased it, I say you don't have to make a Shech Yonu when you purchase it again. But I hold, even if you own it, you don't have to make a Shech Yonu if you purchase it now. Even if I owned it through a Yerusha, but now I purchased it, Rav Meir says you don't have to make a Shech Yonu. Ain't Tzorach Levarach. That's why I want to say that. And certainly, of course, if you purchased it, and now you purchase it again, you don't make a Shech Yonu. So I wanted to show us the strength of Rav Meir Shita. That's why he gave the Machlokis to Rav Meir Yehuda in that respect. But it's Lav Davka, that it's not also talking about where you purchased it and purchase it again. Where it says, in that situation, everybody Rav Meir would say, ain't Tzorach Levarach in either of the cases. No, why did you want to show me the strength of Rav Meir Shita? Put the Machlokis in Kana, the Yeshlo, Kana, the Chazer V'Kana. Why didn't you tell me that way? V'liv L'gu V'Kana, the Chazer V'Kana, the ain't Tzorach Levarach, L'odiach HaKocho L'Rav Yehuda. Why don't you tell me in that situation that this would accent Rav Yehuda's opinion? Right? You had a choice of accenting Rav Meir's opinion or accenting Rav Yehuda's opinion. Where it says, no, this is a famous rule, koach dehetera odiflei. We much prefer to accent on the kula shita. This goes against the way normally people think. Everybody always says, oh, luchum is better. Luchum is better. So that's not true. Luchum is not better. Anybody can be a machmir. If you ask me a shayla, can I do this on Shabbos? And I don't know. I say, I'm machmir. I'm sorry. I don't know. So better not to do it. Doesn't take a lot of koach. Doesn't take a lot of chokhmah to be machmir. Oh, to be mekel, to say, no, this is not usher. This is mutter because of That's a much stronger opinion. And we always, throughout Shas, koch de teira odif, it's always better to be the one that is able to find the kula. Again, everything is mutter until you show that it's osir. It's not the other way around. Sometimes people have the philosophy, everything's osir until you show that it's mutter. Technically, everything is mutter until you show that it's osir. Now, again, halachas are halachas, dina medina. We're not chas v'shalom in any way suggesting that you can do away with any din. But if you find something new, the default position is that it should be kosher, let's say. Until you say, well, this is why it's not kosher. This is really not a fish with scales. We thought it might have scales, that's why we said it's kosher, but it's not. It doesn't have scales, those aren't scales, therefore the fish isn't kosher. That's the way you look at it. If a guy comes along and says, no, it has scales when it's young, and the scales fall off, and therefore it is kosher, because it doesn't have to have the scales right now. Oh, koch de teira odif. That's a bigger aspect. When you have a choice of accenting on the kula side, or accenting on the chumra side of a machlokas, we accent on the kula side, koach de hetero or the flame. Very beautiful idea. Okay, weiter. Then we said in the Mishnah, mevorach al ra, the Mishnah had said at the beginning that you make mevorach al ra, me'ein hatov, and likewise, mevorach hatov, me'ein hara. What exactly did that mean? Hechidami. So I gave you these examples when we did the Mishnah, we'll say them again now. Hechidami, what are we talking about? Kigon. So when do you make a barach dynamis over here? Kigon, the shakal bitko biara, biare. A flood floods your land. So that's baruch dynamis. That's not a good thing. So right now, it's not a good thing. A year from now, you're going to be high-fiving over here because you say, wow, I got the most fertile land in the world because the river overflowed my land. Okay, it destroyed last year's crop, so I lost $100, but this year, I'm going to have a $500 crop because the land is so fertile. So I have a God, the Tovuhu, live the day. The Maska Arish Shirton, Ushvacha. Because all the silt, all the minerals that are brought in by the flooding are actually good for your field in the long term. But right now it's bad. Right now you just lost your crop. You flooded your field, whatever, it's not good for you. So you make a baruch dayin ha'emes. Even though ultimately there's a good in here from it, but you make the bracha baruch dayin ha'emes. Hashtami yorohi, because right now it's bad. It may be good in the future, but right now it's bad. Likewise, v'alatova v'chule, what's the opposite? Well, right now it's good, but in the future it's going to be bad. Hey, chidami, what's the example of that? Kigon, the ashkach metzia, a guy finds a find. He picks up a $1,000 bill in the street. Somebody dropped it. Saf agav deroyili today. It's going to be eventually bad for you, because they had a rule that any finds that you found belong to the king. You're just a shaliach to bring it to the king. That's the rule that they had. The Shama B'malka, because if the king hears about this, Shakula Minei, he's going to take it from you. So then you're at neutral, so why should that be bad for you? So the answer is, once they take this, they take everything else. It's like a penalty. So you didn't give us the $1,000 that you found, so we'll take the $1,000, and we'll also take your bank account. So therefore, it's bad for you in the long term. But right now, it's good. Right now, hey, I just found $1,000 bill. So therefore, you make a tova meitiv over here and not a baruch dynamis. You look at it right now and not what the future consequences will be. Gemara says, hashta mi atovi. Oh, because right now, it's good for you. Then the Gemara continues. Now, this is a very famous discussion. What are you allowed to daven about or for? When is it a tefillah shav? When is it not a tefillah shav? Rav Shach the Shlita brings down many gedoli Yisrael that would not make a full Misha Ber, somebody should have a refuah shleima for somebody who is deathly ill, when through modern understanding of medicine, the person cannot have a refuah shleima. Says that's a tefillah shav. That's what we're going to discuss now. When is it a tefillah shav to daven for refuah shleima? To daven for them, you always have to do. Don't misunderstand me. So, somebody wants to give me share on this one. Somebody came up to me and said, what? You're not daven for a sick person? I said, no, of course you're not daven for a sick person. What are you davening for? At some point, your davening has to be that you should be in comfort, that you should have no pain, that you should not be suffering, that you should have all the comforts that you possibly could have. But to daven for somebody that has nebuch, end-stage metastatic cancer that's throughout the body, and the doctors say we have no more chemotherapy, we have nothing to do for you, to daven to Hashem that they should have a refuah shleima is a tefillah shav. Rav Shach the Shlita brought down various gedolim, their maises, they refused to make that type of mishabah. They would say tilim for the guy. They would daven to Hashem for the guy, don't get me wrong. But you can't daven for a full shlema, unless it is possible. A 1% chance that you can survive, then you can daven for a full shlema. That's not a nes. That's within the teva. You're not allowed to daven for a nes. That's what Gemara is going to tell us. So let's begin. We call the Mishnah. Your wife is pregnant, right? She's 8 months pregnant. She should give birth to a boy, so harezu tefillah shav. Give birth to a girl, harezu tefillah shav. You're not allowed to do that, because the gender is already assigned. The gender is assigned at an earlier point in the pregnancy, which we'll discuss right now, But you can't daven once the gender is assigned that it should be a different gender. The only way that could happen would be through a nace. You're not allowed to daven for a nace. Where it says, "Lo mahani rachmi," no, you can't go and daven. I'll show you a famous maisa that you can daven for a change in a child. Maser of Yosef Rose says, it says by Leah when she gave birth to Dina, the yachayol dabas patikra shemo Dina. Afterwards, she gave birth to a girl, and her name was called Dina. It's interesting. The mafarshim bring down over here. It doesn't say batar batelid bas. It says v'achar ha'isabas. There are those that suggest that Dina was a twin with Zvulun. Zvulun was her sixth child, and it doesn't say Vatar, so they say, just as Vatelim, that she was actually a twin with Zvulun. Very interesting idea. Certainly not the standard way that people understand it. They are very, very beautiful. So the idea was that she was actually, it doesn't say Vatar. In any event, Dina was a child. She was the, we'll call it the surrogate mother of Dina. But she wasn't necessarily the genetic mother of Dina, because, as we'll see, my be achar, afterwards she gave birth, Amarav, la achar shedona leya din be atzma. Leya, what does it say, the achar, over here, Dina, she did a judgment on herself and on Rachel. The Amar, she says, Yud be shvatim, asin lesez mi Yaakov. They had a Kabbalah that there would be 12 children to Yaakov. Right? When Rivka was supposed to have the 12 children, she said, Lama zu li, why do I need this? Zu, So Zeh is Gematria 12. She said, what do I need this? If this is something, I'll be the first pregnancy. Is, hey, everybody, I'm going to have 12, 11 more. So she lost the opportunity, it says, in the Medrash. And so instead, Yaakov had the 12 children, as opposed to Yitzchak having the 12 children. In any event, they had a Kabbalah. They knew there'd be 12 sons. So now, she ought to be married. She already had six. She just gave birth to Zvulun. According to this, it was while she was in labor, so to say. The Arba min Hashvachos, and already Bill and Zilpah, each had two. So that's 10. Hari Yasara. Im Zeh Zachor, if I now give birth to an 11th son, so then, Lo Tei Achosi, my poor sister Rachel, Ki Achas Hashvachos, she'll have even less than the Shvachos. She'll only have left for one child. So Miyad, she davened to Hashem, Nevchol Bas. Dina turned into a girl. She was supposed to be a boy. That says she was a Yatsonis. She went out. She had the characteristics, if you wish, of a male child. And Yosef was Besalsel. He played with his hair. He had some of the characteristics of a girl. So there's two opinions over here as what happened. They're both Medrashim. One says that this was either a uterine transplant or just transposition of the babies. And Rachel was actually the genetic mother of Dina, but the birth mother of Yosef. And someone who used this to Dan, surrogate mother, who is the birth mother. We don't paskin like Agadita, so most say we don't paskin necessarily from this Agadita. But some say that that's exactly what happened, that Yosef was actually the genetic child of Leah, but the birth child was Dina, and vice versa for Rachel. Others say the actual child inside switched from being a male to a female. Okay, whatever it was, Shenema v'tikra shema Dina. That's what it says. She called the child Dina. So you see here, she daven. It was well after the child's gender had been done. So more gives two terutzim. Ei maskiri masanisa. Don't bring me riots from Leah. Leah is a lamala min ateva. Leah is a nace over here. You can't bring me right from a nace. Oybay zema ma'isa de Leah besochar bar yom haba. So it wasn't right when Zvulun was born. She said, "Oh, now I have 10." She knew Zvulun was going to be a boy, and she saw early in the pregnancy that I had twins, and she said, "Let this one." Or she didn't. Zvulun she birthed last year. You don't have to say it like that. And now she says, "I'm pregnant again," but it was early in the pregnancy, before 40 days. Before 40 days, the gender of the child is not definitive. You can still daven for the gender to change. Now that doesn't go along with our genetic understanding, but it actually goes along with that. Sometimes there can be hormonal influences, and you can have a child that's genetically an XY, and it could be physiologically looking exactly like a girl. So there could be differences based upon hormones and other factors, sometimes illnesses, that can make what could be a genetic child one way to look another way. Without getting into the medicine behind it at all, the bottom line is, before 40 days, it's not yet called the gender is assigned. As I mentioned previously, at 40 days, every single organ is formed inside. I remember learning this from an embryology teacher, and this is an absolutely medically proven fact that before 40 days, all the organ systems aren't made. At 40 days, all the organ systems are made. They're very, very small. But there's nothing new that's being made. It's just maturation from that point on. So 40 days is a very magical, important number in halacha as well as in medicine. In fact, technically, it's no longer called an embryo. At that point, it's called a fetus. So this is, again, modern science. We don't need modern science to prove us right, but it's always nice when modern science proves us exactly right. In any event, Kiditanya, what happens? Shloshi Yomim Rishonim, the first 3 days after conception, Yavakish Odom Rachmim Shlo Yasriach, that it should get pregnant. And this is true. The sperm lasts for a period of 72 hours. So therefore, during the first 3 days after the relations, so you want the child that could be conceived to attach itself, to have a proper implantation, because even if it's fertilized, it may not have a proper implantation. So you want to daven for those first 3 days that you should have an implantation. Mishlosh, after that, it's a waste of time to say, oh, we had relations 2 weeks ago. I hope that that it implanted it. Well, it's too late. Either it implanted or it didn't implant. So you can't daven at that point. From 3 to 40 days, you're allowed to daven for the gender, because the gender is not halachically fixed that it's a nace that you should have that gender. Okay. From 40 days until 3 months, you should hope that the baby doesn't get blighted. Sandal is a certain type of a change in the fetus. You see this actually with twins all the time, and Rashi seems to allude over here that if you get pregnant again, it is possible to get pregnant again, very unusual, but you get pregnant a second time. There are reported cases of a woman having two husbands, actually, with two twins, and one baby is a 9-month baby, one baby is an 8-month baby. So there are reported documented cases of this. I remember reading a case report in JAMA about this 25, 30 years ago. In any event, so this son, though sometimes the second child, can blight the first ovum, baby inside, and you have Nebuch with twins. You can have sometimes one that doesn't make it, the other one survives perfectly well. So that's what you should daven for over here from up till 3 months when that can occur. Beyond that, you can still have a miscarriage at that point in time. After 6 months, it's amazing, this is exactly what modern technology has reached, a baby born at 23, 24, 25 weeks has a chance for survival. Obviously, the longer it stays inside, the better the chances are, but that's exactly 6 months. So when you reach 6 months, the baby can survive outside, so you no longer have to daven that it shouldn't be a miscarriage that would automatically die. You certainly should still daven that the baby should stay inside. That's not a tefillah shav, but you don't daven that it shouldn't be a miscarriage anymore, because even if the baby's born at 25, 26 weeks, has a chance for survival. Now, then you daven it should be a full-term pregnancy. You don't daven it should be a miscarriage, you daven it should be a full-term pregnancy. So where it says, is this all true? Does this really work? That you can daven for the gender of a child from day until day 40. We know that it's genetically. So here they tell you some physical machinations that you can do. If the man has the zera first, whatever that exactly means, we're not 100% sure what it means for the man and the woman over here, man mistama, if he ejaculates before the woman reaches her mazriya zera, so then you can have a girl. The isha mazriya tchila, if the woman has her zera first, not sure what that means. Does this mean over here that she ovulated already? Does this mean something else? Not sure. You'll let zocher, then it'll be a baby boy. So it seems that it's determined at the time of the relations, whichever one of them is mazriya first, is going to be that type of a child, either a boy or a girl, respectively. So how can you tell me you can still daven for it? And where do we see this? Shnemar, Ishak, he says, Ria, the older Zachar. If a woman is Mazriya first, she'll have a boy. So therefore, it seems to be predetermined from the time of the relations. How can you go and tell me you can daven for it still? Well, he says, no. If they simultaneously had their Zriya, so therefore, there's no guarantee it'll be a boy or a girl, so therefore, you'll have to daven at that point. Only can daven until day 40. Then we say in the Mishnah, if a person is going on the road, he makes certain, he shouldn't make certain assumptions about what's going on at home when he hears the sirens. He hears the ambulance going. He hears the fire engines. Tell him about it. Hilazaki, show you Baba Derech. Hilazaki was once going on the road. Vishama called Svacha Ba'ir. He hears a crying out. Right? He hears the ambulance. He hears the siren coming from the city. So it makes more sense over here, not with the ambulance analogy, but to say he hears women crying. He hears people screaming and yelling. So he has a cold swach over here. So I'm a muftachani shein zebesoch basi. I've guaranteed that this is not my house. So my father said, how do you guarantee it wasn't his house? So there's two answers. One lamala minateva, one minateva. Lamala minateva says, Hillel says, I know I'm a tzaddik. You know, he's not saying anything that nobody else doesn't know. Hillel is the greatest person alive. So he knows on his level, he has a certain hashkocha that he didn't do anything wrong, that he should deserve to have a punishment coming in his house. So therefore, he says, I can guarantee this doesn't come from my house. No, that's Hillel. He's Lamala Manateva. Nobody else can do that. The answer that everybody else can do is that Hillel says, I taught my family that you don't scream. You're daven. There's no way they'd be screaming. They would accept this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'd be davening, but they wouldn't be screaming. So he says, that's how I know that it's not coming from my house. Okay, beautiful idea. All of the cause of all man about such a person like Hillel, it says, Mishmur Rolo Yira, Nachon Libo Batuach Mashem. This pasuk over here from Tillim tells us that you won't hear bad news if your heart is towards Hashem. What does that mean? Amarava Kolechid the Darshis Lahaikra. Mereisha Lasefa Madrish, Misefa Lareisha Madrish. You can read this pasuk, the Reisha and the Sefa, either is the Reisha Sefa, or you can read it Sefa Reisha, same understanding. If you read it front to back, Mereisha Lasefa Madrish the following way. Mishmor Rolo Yira, a person won't hear bad news. Matam, why not? Nochul Libo Batuach Hashem. So what does it mean, won't have bad news? It doesn't mean that a tzaddik can never have anything bad to him. Rahman al-Islam, we've seen many times, horrible things happen to tzaddikim. It's a famous old question. How come bad things happen to good people? So the answer is that they're not going to cry about it. They understand that this is from Hashem, and just like we make a bracha ala tova, we make a bracha ala ra. So they're not going to cry about it, and therefore they never have a shmur ra. They never say, God did something bad to me. They say, God did this to me. I have emuna in Hashem. Emuna in Hashem, I always say this. It's a very important idea. Emunah in Hashem does not mean everything will be okay. It's wrong. People say, no, I have emunah that I'm going to get better. No, you're a fool. You have emunah that Hashem's going to do whatever's best for me. That's emunah. And sometimes the answer is, you shouldn't have the refuah shleim that you asked for. But if a person says, I have emunah shleim that everything will be okay and nothing will be able to happen to me, that person is going to unfortunately get disappointed and they're going to throw everything away, Rahman al-Islam, when it doesn't turn out the way you thought was best, but it turns out the way Hashem says is best.
So shouldn't that be all of our prayers?
No. You're 100% right. If you're on that madrega, you can. The Ramban is brought down, and the understanding of Ramban says you don't go to doctors. He says you don't go to a doctor if you also don't go to work. If you're on that madrega, then you say everything comes from Hashem. The Yechidim, the Gemara tells us stories about people like that. Normal people aren't like that. A guy that goes to work also has to go to the doctor. Right? You can't rely upon that. And you're allowed to ask Hashem, this is what I think is best. But that's why I always say, Hashem, give me what I want if you think it's best. That's the right way that we should daven. And that you're allowed to do. Het to gomer. Because you can sway things in Shemayim. Your tefillos change the equation. So if you don't eat, you're going to starve to death. No, eat, then you won't starve to death. Well, but I'm not allowed to eat because God, if God wants me to live, I'll live. No, that's not the approach that we have. You have to do your status. Your status includes going to work. Your status includes going to a doctor. Your status is going davening. And that changes the equation. But when the end result comes, so you won't have a shmur ra if you have a moon and a shem. That's the read. Read the pasuk from to back. If you read it from back to front, the same thing. Madrash, you can read it the same way. The person who has his faith in the moon and Hashem, mishmur ra, lo yirai. He's never going to have bad news. That's the approach. How Tamida David Kozel Basrei the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Tom was once walking with Rabbi Shmuel Beshuka in the market at the Tzion. That was the name of the place. Chazi the Komavchi. He saw that the Talmud was upset, was afraid. You must be a sinner. Only sinners are afraid. And a Baal Emunah is never afraid. Doesn't mean he's not going to have a physical fear, but he's never afraid. He's always, Hashem is with me wherever I go. So if you're afraid, you must be a chote. So Malay Thomas said, no, what about the other possible? It says it's good to be afraid all the time. So he told him, Amalei, no, how about Divrei Torah, Ksiv? That's talking about Divrei Torah. A person should always be afraid, the Mepharshim should bring down, that he's going to forget his Torah. He's not going to chazer enough. That you should be constantly worried about, because that will spur you to do something. But to worry about what's going to happen in the stock market tomorrow is a brach levatol. It's a waste of time. You have no control of what happens in the stock market tomorrow, so why worry about it? If it goes up, that's what Hashem wanted for you. If it goes down, that's what Hashem wanted for you. Why are you worrying about it for? The person who worries about it, he's a chote, because he doesn't believe in Hashem. So therefore, he's a chote. It doesn't mean that you can't go in and try to figure out which stocks to buy. That's ishtadlus. Ishtadlus you're allowed to do. Right? If you just leave everything and say, God will take care of everything, so that's not doing your ishtadlus. Again, if you're on such a madrega, you can. He was once following with his Rebbe Rav Hamnuna, and Isnach, and he sighed. Rav Hamnuna told him, I'm like, Yisurim boy, do you want Yisurim? It's not good to sigh. But Yisurim boy, how gavra, do you want Yisurim lasuya nafshe to come on you? They'll say, ki pachad v'chadeti, v'yaseini asher yogorni, yovuli. So you want these dreaded Yisurim to come on you? V'oksiv, the Talmud says, asher yod v'chadeti, told me the same pasuk as before, so is it a good idea to sigh? She says, no, how will be the rhetoric? So again, you should sigh that I don't remember the daf that we learned yesterday. Okay, I don't remember it either as well as I'd like to. So, but we try. So that should bother you. Maybe I, if it bothers me enough, I'll chazer it again tonight. I'll listen to the tape. I'll go pick up an art scroll and read it again. That's mefachet tomid. That's good to have size. That's good to be worried about. But to worry about the stock market, you're wasting your time. Hanichlet Zichrach. Then we said in the Mishnah, if you go into a city, you make certain brachos. We said two, one, different machlokas. So here, according to the opinion, says two when you go in, two when you go out. Tanu Rabbanan. Bichlisaso ma uomer. What do you say? Yiratzon l'fenecha shem lokai. When you enter and you say, bring me into the city in peace. Nichlas, when you come into the city, Nichlas Omer, Mardin Luvanech Hashem Lokai, Shichlas Tani Lekrach Zeh L'Sholom. Oh, Baruch Hashem, you brought me in here in peace. Bikish Lotzis, when he's about to leave, so before he leaves, he says, Omer, Yiratz Luvanech Hashem Lokai, Lokai Avasai, Shetosiyani Mikrach Zeh L'Sholom. Take me out of the city in peace. Yotzo, when he leaves, Omer, Mardin Luvanech Hashem Lokai, Shotisani Mikrach Zeh L'Sholom. Then you took me out of the city in peace. It was a bad city, we'll see. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, I got out alive. Okay, shame shows it's sounding l'shalom, kach tolichenu l'shalom. Now it should sound a little bit familiar. Until now, we don't say this. But now, here's what we start saying, tefillas haderech. So you take me out, tolichenu l'shalom, tisuchenu l'shalom, tatzidenu l'shalom, tatzileni mikav, koloyei, borei, baderech, etc., etc. The Tver Shmuel brings down, we ended off with the chasima, baruch Hashem, shomea tefila. So we don't give the full nosach over here, but this already sounds a lot more like what we used to in tefillas haderech. Our Ramas, the Ramas says, Lo shno el bekach shein donin v'harginbo. This is talking about a city where it's a dangerous city, where they don't judge people. They just put you to death. You walk into a dictator's despotic regime. So you look the wrong way, and they throw you into jail, and they kill you. So then you have to make this bracha. But if you walk into a normal city that has a justice system, I will bekach shein donin v'harginbo, less than but. They have a judicial system, so what are you worried about? Why do you have to make a bracha that you shouldn't be killed by the lawless government? It's a lawful government. So therefore, somebody comes to the United States and they don't do anything wrong. Nothing's going to happen to them. So you don't have to make this bracha if you enter into the United States. That's what he's telling us over here.
Well, this is you don't have to, but are you allowed?
You're always allowed to daven without a bracha, without saying baruch ato Hashem, so you can always daven. Never, ever so stop davening for everything. Again, I told you before, my rebbe used to tell me when I was a kid in camp, go up to the plate, daven, you shoot a home run. God wants your tefillos, even for hitting a home run. It's exactly the opposite. Like the goyim, he only has God for the big stuff. You know, he doesn't want to, he's not interested in your toenails. I can clip my toenails in a straight line. It shouldn't hurt me. I shouldn't cut myself. God's interested in that? Yeah, God's interested in that. That's our philosophy. God's interested in every one of us, every single thing that we do. And you should daven for everything that you should do.
It
shows a relationship with Kodesh Baruch. Why does Kodesh Baruch? Why does Kodesh Baruch want you to tie your left shoelace before you tie your right shoelace, but put on the right shoe before you put on the left shoe? It's to establish a keshu with that Kodesh Baruch. You should realize every second of the day when I wash my hands, I wash my right hand first. Who cares? I'm not talking about washing tails at night. So when you wash your hand, you're supposed to wash your right hand before you wash your left hand at the sink. Because you're supposed to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this helps further and establishes that relationship. So across in the street, Hashem, please don't let me hit across in the street. I'm not saying that I do that. I'm not saying that a normal person can have that kavan every second. It's the idea. You want a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The closer the relationship, you're close with your wife. You're close with somebody. You talk to them, hopefully. The more you talk with them, the closer relationship. That's what makes the relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a personal, close relationship with Him. The more we talk with Him, if you hear Him back, then maybe you have to go to a doctor. But the relationship is there. Hashem hears you. You just don't hear Him. But there are people that hear and see Hashem in every aspect of life. So that's the relationship. When you have a long-distance relationship, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? No. But if you have a close relationship, then you hear each other all the time. Very important idea. Very important idea. It's the essence of Yiddishkeit is establishing a relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ikad the Amri, I'm going to say, I'm a Rav Natsan. No, even if it's a righteous, lawful country, you still have to be careful. Even if the Lord Mosraim Yiddish, the Olive Lay Zechusa, because you may get falsely accused, but you don't know anybody in this town. Nobody's going to help you. There's going to be trouble for you. So therefore, even if you're going into a lawful town, you should make this tefillah. Now they used to have different base Americas. Brought down Shulchan Aruch. We don't make these brachas nowadays. Our bathrooms are pretty safe, but their bathrooms, their bathhouses, were very dangerous. So therefore, you make this tefillah. Save me from this dangerous activity. I'm going to a bathhouse. I'm standing on some wooden planks above a roaring flame, and these planks break. They're wooden planks above a flame, so they would break. And they fall in and burn to death. So therefore, they made a bracha when he went to the bathhouse. And nothing bad should happen to me for oven or troubles. And then he added, and if something bad does happen to me, a terrible thing happens to me. It should be a kapara for any sins that I did. So that's what he said. Amar Bai, I don't like that tefillah at all. Lo lema in shehachi. The last part I don't like. The lo litach pumelis sotin. Al tiftach pelis sotin. We have the famous rule that you don't go and say bad things, because then the Satan will say, oh, that's what you want, that's what will happen. Don't open your mouth to the Satan. Where do we know this from? Amar Yossi, my claw. The Siv, Kimat Kistom, Hainu, Hainu, Lamora Dominu, right? In the Haftorah that we say, for Parshas Chazon. Couldn't think of the name. Getting old, senior moment. So for the Haftorah of Chazon, so you have over here, it says, we're almost like Sodom and Amorah. So what's the Navi answer? My other like Navi, Shimut Varshem, Katsine Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, you want to act like Sodom? I'll call you Sodomites. So therefore, Al Tiftech Pelu Satan. So you don't say this Girsa of my Misa should be a Kapara. The Mepharshim ask over here, but that's what we say in the Vidui. In the Vidui, a person should say, we shouldn't know from this until 120, but in the Vidui, it says that my Misa should be a Kapara for me. Because if a person dies, you might as well not waste it, right? So don't waste it. Misa is the best thing you can possibly have in terms of kapara. Because sometimes Yisurim don't work. Sometimes Tshuva alone doesn't work. Misa somehow always works. So don't waste it. A person shouldn't waste his death. That's one of the reasons that we say the Vidoy, that my Misa should be a kapara for me. No, you should say it now, and it shouldn't happen for 120 years. But here he's saying it now. He's not expecting it to happen. So that's the answer. By the Vidoy, we're only saying it by a chola. Although it used to be the minhag that when anybody go into the hospital, they'd have an operation, the Chevra Kedisha would come, which also is not normally a good sign that the Chevra Kedisha comes to visit you, but they visited everybody, so therefore it wasn't a normal thing. This way, they'd get people nervous, and they would visit you, and they would also say Vidoy, I have a sore throat. Yeah, we come to everybody. So we say Vidoy, even for the sore throat that's going for a tonsillectomy, just like we do with a guy that has Nebuchadnezzar, that's 50% mortality from the surgery. But they go visit everybody, it's not a big deal. So yeah, they bring down, you're allowed to say the Vidoy, because it's really close to death. In the locks of side, but don't say this when you're going to a bathhouse that my misa should be a kapara because I'll tiftach pelu satan. Kinafik my omer, you get out of the bathhouse successfully, you survived. Omer vachem mod anil v'nechash olkai shitzaltani min ha'ar, that you saved me from the fire. Rav Avol once went into the bathhouse. After this bay bani mitusei, the boards broke from underneath him. Israchish leinisa and kamal amuda, he was able to go and stand on some sort of a pole that came up. And this happened, so he didn't fall into the fire. Now there were 101 other people there with him. Shaziv Meya Bechad Gabri Bechad Evre. He grabbed all 100. One of them, obviously, some sort of a guzma, some sort of a exaggeration over here. Gemara also says he grabbed two people, his two attendants. Okay, whatever it was, he grabbed them and saved them. Omar, Hainu the Ravacha. This is what Ravacha said. Omar Ravacha, Anichlis Lahakis Dam. If you go do a bloodletting, Omar Yiratom Fenech Hashem Alkai, She Esek Zeh Lili Refua. Viterani Kiel Rofi Nemon Ato. Now we can spend the entire shit just on this line. But first of all, this was in those days for bloodletting, which I would say in those days you really needed a foolish shleim. You had to ask Hashem, because bloodletting was a very dangerous thing. Many great individuals have died from bloodlettings that they used to do. In any event, you make a bracha after the bloodletting, then it should be okay for you. But halacha lemaisa, this is one of the least well-known dinim. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Anytime you take any sort of refuah, you should say this nusach over here. Yehi ratzom fenecha Hashem Elokai shetei esek ze li lirefuah. The other part, we not know hek to say, and we don't make a bracha. But this, again, you can say it in English. You don't have to say it. It's not a bracha. You should say, I take a Tylenol. Hashem, let this Tylenol please work for me. Because it ain't the Tylenol that's working, it's Hashem that's working. Via the method of the Tylenol. So whenever a person does any procedure or any pills, he should say this nusach. Yiratzon l'fnech Hashem Elokai shetei esek ze li refua. Yiratzon shetei esek ze li refua. You don't have to say Hashem's name. Say it should be your will, Hashem, that this esek, this refua that I'm taking, should be a refua and not rachman al san, not work or chasro, of course, side effects. And this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, very important. There are different girsos over here. How to end this off? Again, we don't do it with a bracha. Others have the gifts, kirofe chinamata. You just end off with that. Again, some say this, some don't. Then it says you should go to the doctor. People go to the doctor. Because we shouldn't really go to the doctor, but we go to the doctor. Don't say this. This is the most important line in the entire shas for doctors. Because it says, don't say, don't go to the doctor. It seemed to imply that we only go to the doctor because that's the minhag. We have low emuna. So we go to the doctors. So he says, Abai says, no, don't say that. The Tani Rabbi Shmuel. We just read it. A doctor has permission. It's a mitzvah when you go to the doctor. We have to go to the doctor. The Ramban says that If you're on that madrega, that you don't go to the doctor, well, then you also have to be on the madrega, that you don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. You don't do anything yourself. So the Yechidim that do that, but everybody else has to go to the doctor. And Lamaisa, it's a mitzvah to go to the doctor. And most importantly, the double lashon, rapo yirapay, is you're allowed to charge. The doctor's allowed to charge. The first one is gives you permission to treat him. Second one, rapo, you have to treat him, but you don't have to treat him for free. Yirapay, the mafarshim bring down, you're allowed to charge. And the Gemara actually says elsewhere that if you go for free to the doctor, so you get what you pay for. So, which is very true sometimes. But in any event, this is the most important line for doctors, rapo yirapay. And I always point out the famous Balei Torah that it says, "Kani Hashem rofe echa." When Hashem heals us, that's with a fe. It's nice and soft, no problems. Rapo, you're a pay. You're going to have pain. You're going to have pay. It's a harsher refuah, the side effects that the refuah gives you. And you also have to pay for it. So therefore, the rapo, you're a pay is different than Hashem rofe echa. But in any event, you have to go to the doctor. When you leave the doctor, what do you say? Baruch Hu should save me. Thank Hashem. Others have the gears over here of something else. But again, we don't make this with Shema Machus. We say Yiratzon. That is worked out. Hashem is the Rofi Chinam. Hashem, not the doctor. Hashem's the only Rofi Chinam. He's the only perfect Rofi. A doctor goes, you know, a doctor does a procedure on you. No, he does surgery on you. It hurts like hell. But Baruch Hashem, you get better, right? It's painful, right? Hashem's refuah is never painful. Hashem heals you. Nothing hurts. That's Hashem's refuah. Now, he doesn't often do that directly, but he does it all the time. When we say, Gomel chasadim tovim. Good chasadim. Give me good chasadim. That means don't let me get sick. Give me all the good things. I don't have to come to you and ask you for a refuah shleima. That's gomel chasadim tovim. You don't even realize you're sick. A person can have a cancer inside of him. Hashem makes it go away. You never knew you had the cancer, and you never knew it went away. So that's gomel chasadim tovim. That's Hashem giving you good health without any problems. Okay, vayta, omid beis. We're very far behind. Haniflis beis akisi omer. You go to the bathroom. We say, Aminah is not to say these things because it's considered a little bit arrogant to say these things. That a person recognizes he has malachim with him all the time. He's on such a madrega. Somebody is on such a madrega, then his stomach can say this, but we don't say these things. Haniflis beis akisi. You go to the bathroom. You tell the malachim that are accompanying you on your right and your left. Omer, hiskabdu mechubadim. Kedoshim mishar seelyon. Tnu kavalo ke Yisrael. Hey, rafu mi many achikones. Nu, my malachim, stay outside over here. It's not possible to come to the bathroom with me. That's what it's only. And I'll go to the bathroom, take care of my needs. And then I'll come back and rejoin you. Don't say this. Because maybe they're going to leave you. If you tell them to leave, they'll leave you, but they're not going to come back. Say out here, don't say leave me. Shimroni, Shimroni, double lashon to the malach on the right, to the malach on the left. Protect me over here. Azuni, Azuni, Samchuni, Samchuni. Hamtinuli, please wait for me. Hamtinuli, Achikonis. Let me go inside. They'd say, and I come back out. She came dark shulni adam kinofik. And this is the way. She came dark shulni adam. This is the normal life. The person has to go to the bathroom. You eat the man. You don't have to go to the bathroom. That was the beauty of the man. When Hashem gives you food, so then you don't have to go to the bathroom. It's perfect food. Not one drop is wasted. Waste is when there's garbage or extra stuff in the food that we can't process. So that's your waste. But Hashem's man, we never have to go to the bathroom with the man. Hashem gives us perfect food. When we take food, it's not perfect. Kinafik, when you leave the bathroom, you survived. Oh, my baruch Hashem, baruch Hashem yatzah. Oh, so this is the bracha, famous bracha Hashem yatzah. Again, we spend hours and hours on this bracha alone. Such a beautiful bracha. Some of the parts you bring down, this is the bracha thanking Hashem for every organ in your body. And you think about it, when do we thank Hashem for our kidneys? When do we thank Hashem for our liver? So this Asher Yotzer is really the bracha to thank Hashem for all the wonderful, amazing miracles that go on in your body. So it's Asher Yotzer, it's Adam Chachma. You made us with Chachma. Tosus over here brings down over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us over here. He prepared our food. He created us with Chachma. That he created us, but he didn't leave us out there to rot. He didn't leave us out there to be on our own. He created all the things that we need to live. That's Asher Yotzer, Adam Chachma. It's not Chalolim. The gears that we have is Chalulim. It's very interesting because the Torah brings down that the gematria over here of Chalulim is 124. Chalulim is 248, which is the Ramach Evarim. So you created us over here in this beautiful fashion. Is clear and known to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have one of them, I had a person I know yesterday, a little one-year-old baby, went for surgery, had an open hole in their heart, and they closed it. That child would die. Now they Baruch Hashem with modern surgery, Hashem gave us the ability to cure such a thing. But that's a hole that shouldn't be there. It was there during the fetal circulation, and then it didn't close like it's supposed to. So if these holes that are supposed to close don't close, holes that are not supposed to be there open up, so then you're in trouble. If they don't open or close properly, So a person can have terrible things if you have an intestinal obstruction. So then you're in a lot of trouble. You got to go to Yoni. You're in a trouble amount of trouble over here if things don't open and close the way they're supposed to. Ef shalamu lefanecha, and the Gra adds afilu shoachas, which Ashkenazim don't say, but Sfardim do say nusuk Sfard, and that's the bracha, famous bracha Vashiyotz. Again, you should spend time looking in Shulchan Aruch to understand it's such a beautiful bracha, what the words really mean and what they connote. I just gave you one or two little ideas. My chosim, what's the conclusion of this bracha? I'm Rav Rofi Cholim. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the one who heals the sick. Amar Shmuel, Kosh Avinu Abba. Abba was Rav's name or a title of respect. Kuli Alma Ktzire. You made everybody the sick. You're calling us Rofi Cholim. I go to the bathroom. I'm a sick person. No, that's normal. Don't call me Cholim. I remember Rabbi Fabian Shofel Shlita. She lived and be well. So when he was, I davened in the shul when I was newly married. So he used to say that the Gerich Hasidim, they don't say Misha Berach, and I followed this custom until then. Yurape es Hachole, Hacholos, they don't say that. Yurape. Who are you calling him a Chola? They're not a Chola. Now you call him a Chola, now they're a Chola. So the same idea over here. So I never say, when I make a Misha Berach, if you ever listen when I make it in the main shul, so I always say, Yuvarach es. I don't say es Hacholim, es Hacholos. Based upon this Gemara. Okay, I'm a gerach chosid to a shtickle, a very little bit. So, l'kuli am muktziri, you're making everybody into a sick person. Say, hello, rofe kol basar. He says, the girsa, you say rofe kol basar. That's the right girsa. Rosh Hashimar, mafli lasos. Hopefully these both sound familiar. And Omer Rapapa, Rapapa says, Hilcha Nimlu Tabai. We say both of them together. Rofe Chobasar, Umafli Lasso. Such a beautiful idea. And there's so many different organs that we're talking about over here. So we have this double praise over here at the end. Anichdas Lisholam Itoso. Again, you make Kriyas Valamita. So now we're talking about that, and we'll then talk about how you wake up in the morning. So, Hanichta, this is all the brachos. This is where we get all these brachos. This, we're going to have all the brachos that we're going to say in a few moments. If you didn't daven at the 6 o'clock minion, we're going to say these brachos at 7:30 minion in a few moments. So, when you go to sleep at night, and Nichta Shalamita, so, Omer, Mishma Yisrael Avoyam Shavuah, you say the first paragraph of Shema. Again, I brought that many times. The minog is to say all three paragraphs, because in case you didn't daven Shema in the right time, you have a fail safe device that every night you know you say, before you go to bed, you say all three paragraphs of Kriya Shema. So if you ever daven too early, or you forgot for whatever the reason to say Shema, so then you fill in this mitzvah daraisa. So that's the best date to not only say the first paragraph, which is really more for Shmira purposes over here. That's why we say, because you're Yotze already at night. But in case you weren't Yotze at night, get into the habit of saying all three parashas at night. The Omer, and then you have to say Shema, you make the Hamapil. Baruch, again, the whole nusach. Hamapil, Chedlishena, Ali Nois, Lumal, Afapoy. You remove over here, sleep on my eyes. Halmeir, Lisha, Masayin, you lighten up my eyes. We say them all in the plural. Here they have it in the singular. All the things this is the nusach that we say, all the wonderful things we ask Hashem to save us and protect us from all these bad things that could happen to us. And we ended up, again, they're slightly different nusachos in the girsas that we say, whereas what the Gemara has over here, the various Rishonim and Achronim have touched it up a little bit slightly. Kimisai, when you wake up in the morning, Omer, you're supposed to say, right, when you get out of bed, this bracha, but our hands are unclean, so we just say moda ani, we wash the hands, and then, some point, after we get dressed, we say, Elokai, neshama shenasatibi. So this is the Elokai neshama. How come it doesn't start with the bracha to Hashem? So listen to this beautiful idea. It's a continuation, it's a bracha smuch l'chaverta. Which bracha? Hamapil. Your 8 hours of sleep, your 4 hours of sleep, whatever you get, it's a continuation. It's all a hechsha mitzvah. A person goes to sleep at night, and he says, God, let me wake up in the morning. And then when you wake up in the morning, you say, thank you, God, for letting me wake up. So then your entire sleep is a hech shemitzvah for this bracha smucha l'chaverta. If you go to sleep with the right attitude, that Hashem, give me strength. Not, thank God, this is my pillow, this is where I want it to be all day, this is all I want to do is sleep. So that's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is a person should say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me strength, restore my soul, clean it, bring it back nice and fresh in the morning, like I put on nice new clothing in the morning. And this way, it's a bracha smuch l'chaverta, hamapil l'kai neshama. That's why l'kai neshama doesn't need a bracha in front of it, bracha to Hashem. No, we're noheg. The minhag is you say Ashiyotza before you say Elokai Neshama Shenasatibi. So it's a bracha smucha l'chaverta. Otherwise, it's a big kasha. How come Elokai Neshama Shenasatibi doesn't begin with the bracha d'Hashem? In any event, notice it's not Elokai Neshama. Notice how I've been saying it. Elokai, comma, Neshama Shenasatibi. Elokai, comma, Netzor L'shunim Eira. It's not Elokai Neshama. It's not Elokai Netzor. You have to go and make sure there's a pause in the right place. The person has to be careful to do that. Otherwise, he's saying nonsense. So Elokai, comma, Neshama Shenasatibi. Tahorihi. Atol Yitzar to be, some are encouraged the word be. Atol Nefach to be, Atol Meshamer Bekir be, you protect it and save it and put it back to me. Atol Sid Lomi, many you're going to take it from me, but someday you're going to put it back. Lazir be Lazir Lavo. Close my Shana Shomer Bekir be, while I have the ability to do so, I have in Shama, Mother of the Nechashem, Kaiva Kavasai, we don't call all him. I don't call in Shama, Baruch Ato Hashem, Amas, in Shama, Sbor Mesim. Again, the slight different gears that we have in our Nusuch over here that the rabbis changed around for various reasons. Now we start entering into the discussion of the brachos of Birchas HaShachar. Kishamato Tanagola. Now they used to say them all at the time that it occurred, but we don't do this for three reasons. Number one, people don't have clean hands sometimes at this, so we don't make this bracha because we don't have clean hands, and therefore we say them all together in shul in the morning. Number two, not everybody knows these brachas by heart, so if you start telling people to do this, they're going to mess it up. And number three, people don't know when to say them exactly, so therefore our minhag is to say all the birchas hashachar all together in the morning. So when you heard the tanagol, you know, kakadoodle-roo doing in the morning, lema baruch at Hashem kemach lom, Hashem nesel ha-sechvi, no lechini only loyla, that Hashem gave the sechvi, the tanagol, the drush is over here, why we call the tanagol sechvi, we're referring to a sechvi also sometimes. So in anyway, it gives us the bina over here that you put into man and you put into the animals to understand certain things. Then you open your eyes. Again, every one of these brachot came from Chalam. You open up the eyes. When you straighten yourself up, you haven't gotten out of bed yet, but you're straightening yourself up. You untie the bound. Kilovish, when you put on your clothing, lema baruch babish arumim. That's when you say all of these brachas. Again, it's very difficult to remember to do this in the right way, the right time, by heart, so therefore we say them all together in the morning. Kizofik, when you get out of bed, lema baruch zokik vufufi. You straighten up the bent. Kinoch ziyah, when you put your feet on the ground, lema baruch wakaharas alamoyim. Kimaski, when you're walking, lema baruch hamechim mitzadi gavur. Let me take steps. Kisayim mitzani, when you put your shoes on, lema baruch shosli kotzarki. You gave me everything. That's why in the Beis Avel, there are those that have the minog, both ways, do and don't, that don't say this brach in the Beis Avel, because they're not allowed to wear shoes. Others say you do say it over here, because other people can wear shoes. You're not thanking Hashem for your wearing shoes, you're thanking Hashem that He made shoes to wear. When you put in your belt, baruch ozi Yisrael, you say, baruch ozi Yisrael, you gird us. Now notice here it says Yisrael, and likewise, begura, that you gird us in strength. When you put your cap on, you put your yarmulke on, your hat on, baruch ozi Yisrael, that you put a yarmulke on us. So how come by these two you say Yisrael? So this is different. By the goyim, they also get up. The goyim, they also. So they theoretically can make that bracha. But this is for us. This is tznius. This is putting on tznius thicker clothing, wearing a yarmulke on your hat. Yori malka. You should be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above you. So that's why we say this. Now we start getting into other brachas as well. When you put on tzitzis, lema bracha shekishon l'sasav sivanu l'sati b'tzitzis. Kimon ha-tfilin, adari. When you put it on your arm, lema bracha shekishon l'sasav sivanu liach tfilin. And when you put it on the head, reishi lema bracha shekishon l'sasav sivanu, amisas tfilin. Again, the major difference over here between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, how do we do this? And we don't have the time to go to discuss this right now, but this is certainly what the Ashkenazim do. We make a sacred bracha on the yad, we make a bracha on the rosh, and you're not supposed to have any interruptions in between in any event. Kimashi yodi, when you wash the tilas yadayim, lema baruch hashem kishon l'sav zivanu, am tilas yadayim. Kimashi yapi, when you wash your face, lema baruch hamavir chev l'shenu meinoyu slumah me'af apoy. And then we say this additional v'yiratzov, which is again in our davening. Now, some say it with the vav, some say without the vav. It's not a separate bracha. But in any event, v'yiratzov, they say it with the vav, others say it without the vav. Mufnach hashem l'kai, shetagi le'ni. Again, we say it in the plural lashon over here. B'sor sech, v'dav, kein ni, b'mitzor sech. V'yat v'yini, lo yidei chayt, lo yidei vav, lo yidei zayin. Shouldn't put me in any difficulties over here, lo yidei zayin, I shouldn't be embarrassed. V'chov v'zivzi l'shtabidloch, and take my yetzahara and let it serve you, not do what I want to do. V'chakein v'yodem ra, keep me away from odem ra, v'chov v'rov, that being yetzah tov, I should attach myself to the good. V'chov v'tov, and good friends, bo lamecha, v'snei ayom, choyom, chen chesu rachmin, b'nech, v'nei kor ro'ei, ro'einu, ro'ei, v'sigmaleinu chasidim tovim, baruch Hashem, gomel chasidim tovim, v'mo Yisrael. And that's the nusach of the Yisrael we say. One last thing. Right after that, we say, Yiratzon, you should give me good friends. So how can we repeat it again? So a beautiful explanation over here from Rav Sternbach, from the Pshat Nian. He says, you have to have two types of people. The people that you know are bad, and the people that you don't know are bad. So you ask Hashem, keep me away from the people that know are bad. But then you ask Hashem, keep me away from the people that I don't realize are bad because they're bad for me. So that's a beautiful way to end the shiur. Everybody have a wonderful day.